singing along with the saints and the elders in glorious song, and the praises they sing never seem to get old. But I'll stay here forever singing, holy, holy.
Before you, I bow. name of the Lord. Whenever he gave up the ghost, the veil was rent from top to bottom. God rent that veil. No longer do we have to go through a high priest on this earth, a rabbi, to go straight into the most holy place. Whenever Jesus died, the veil was torn. Now we can go into the most holy. Paul says in Hebrews, we can come with boldness. Hallelujah. Not with arrogance, but with boldness. Coming with understanding that he's our God. And he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Praise the name of the Lord. This time we're going to dismiss our children at Children's Church. We have some folks, some families that are sick this morning. I ask you to be in prayer. It's not COVID. Looks like COVID's just moved on out of here. Praise the Lord. All of a sudden, that COVID resurrected the flu. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Philippians, it's good to have Brother and Sister Byerly with us this morning. We love this family. And Brother Ben and Sister Whitney, as you know, they had that beautiful little baby boy. And so they're at home with the baby. We're so grateful for God's mercy and his protecting hand. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We're so appreciative and grateful for the opportunity to gather together in the sanctuary. Lord, we feel your presence in this house this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you would anoint the preaching of the Word of God. This Word is eternal. It's inerrant. Lord, and I thank you for what you're going to do in advance. Anoint every ear. We can hear what the Spirit would say to us. I pray, Lord, that you would do a special work in our hearts and our lives today. Lord, we're going to give you all the thanks for it and the praise and the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Verse number 7 again. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the supernatural peace of God. I don't think it would be very hard to convince anyone in this house this morning, those watching by Facebook, that we live in a world that's full of turmoil. Things are happening all over the place, whether it's a weather event, tornadoes moving across the land. I mean, to tell you, we're having the strangest weather that I've ever seen in my life. I believe it is one of the signs of the times. Listen to me, turmoil everywhere. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the statistics of people committing suicide were astronomical. They said it was the highest level in the history of the America that we live in. I'm going to tell you, panic everywhere. People seem to be hopeless. Well, I'm going to tell you, they must not know this God that I serve, because he's the God of all hope, all peace, and all life. Even now, during the war that's taking place in Russia and Ukraine, we are up against something we've never been up against before. Going back to the 80s with Ronald Reagan, Vladimir Putin is threatening nuclear weapons on many countries. I want to tell you today, he's a crazy, he's a psychopathic, demon-possessed maniac, and I wouldn't doubt it if he hits the button at any time. But listen to me today, you don't have to fear nuclear warfare. You don't have to fear anything that this world, any threats from man or nations. Why? Because the God that we serve is greater than any force, any warfare, warfare, any country, and I can tell you he has me and you in the palm of his hand today. I'm going to say something to you, and you need to get it down in your spirit. If you're a blood-bought child of God, you are immortal until God is through with you. Do you hear what I'm saying to you today? I said if you're a blood-bought child of God, you are immortal until God is through with you. No weapon formed against us can or ever will prosper. Get that down in your spirit today. You need to say it out loud. Tell the devil every once in a while, driving down the road in the bedroom, you tell him, no weapon formed against me can prosper, for I am a child of God. The economy today is suffering. Inflation is at a 40-year high. People wonder, what are we going to do? Our retirement's not going to be enough money. The gas is going to get up to $10 a gallon. Don't you worry about all those things. Listen, I say again, as David said, I have never, he said, seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. If we keep him first in our life, God's going to take care of us. Then there's the personal problems. Families are separated. Bad doctor reports, lost loved ones seem to be totally blind to the end time prophecies and the very fact that Jesus is coming back soon. Many find it very hard to go to sleep at night. Maybe you're here this morning and you toss and turn and your mind just goes, you try to rest. And the moment you close your eyes, all the troubles and that stressful thing is just keeping you awake at nighttime. Even people that have no money problems, that are financially secure, there's other issues in their life. And there's no natural remedy to problems, not good food, entertainment, or even a new baby being born in the house. Everything is for naught without inner tranquility. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, the richest people in the world are miserable. Some of the most wealthy million and billionaires, they think thoughts of ending their life. Why? Because they don't have inner peace. I have found the only real peace that I have is Jesus. I'm not trusting in money. I'm not trusting in people. I'm not trusting in the United States of America. I said the only real peace I have is in Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the hope of the world. Of God. You know, we call the rapture the blessed hope of the redeemed. We are looking, we are anticipating Jesus to come back very soon. I've got news for every one of you that are looking for the coming of Christ. We're about to get out of this place. Jesus Christ himself has planned an evacuation system for the church. One moment we're going to be here and the next moment we're going to be gone. If that doesn't get you excited today, nothing will. There's problems everywhere. So what is the answer to the problems of life? And there's many, many, many problems I haven't even named this morning. The answer is the supernatural peace of God. I love the words of the ancient blessing from Aaron and his priestly descendants in the book of Numbers 6 and 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Oh, my mom prays that prayer over us, and she says those words out of the book of Numbers. He says, the Lord give thee peace. Notice the phrasing here in the book of Numbers. This kind of peace that he's referring to is not just a human achievement. It's not something we can work up in our natural mind. It is a gift from Almighty God. Let me tell you today, the peace that I'm talking about that is supernatural is a peace that comes from heaven above. That's what Jesus said to his disciples during the Last Supper. In John 14 and 27, he said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. What he's saying is the world has a false peace. The world can give you a temporary pleasure in a moment of false security. But what Jesus was saying is the peace that I give will keep you in the darkest hour of despair. Oh, listen to me. Somebody today needs to hear this message. God wants to move you out of that place of being troubled in your spirit, being worried and being concerned. We need to learn to give it all to Jesus and allow him to give what he promised he would give us. And that is the supernatural peace from Almighty God. I'm going to tell you, I believe God's going to work some miracles in this house today, and it's going to change your spiritual walk with God whenever you receive that supernatural peace. It is supernatural. The same peace that kept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ under control when he was standing on trial before a hostile and unfair authorities. Think about it. They were accusing him falsely. They were bringing false accusations against my Jesus. They were saying things that were not true. But yet Jesus stood there as a lamb dumb before shearers. And the Bible said he opened not his mouth. Listen to me today. There was a peace because he knew his Father. He knew where he came from and he knew where he was going. He knew what he was sent to do. There's a peace in knowing God. There's a peace in knowing that you and I are in his will and God has a plan for our lives. The same peace that kept Jesus as he was heading towards Golgotha, whenever he knew that he was going to be marred more than any man. Don't you know that when Jesus was here, remember, Jesus has always been, he was there when God made man in the book of Genesis. The Bible says that he said, let us, plural, make man in our image. Jesus was there when God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. Oh, don't you know that Jesus knew everything because he is the word of God manifested. Don't you know that he knew that he was going to be that prophecy Isaiah said that he was going to be marred more than any man, yet he had an inner peace on his way to Golgotha. He still was at peace in his spirit. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what you're going through this morning, God can give you a supernatural peace. And the men of this world may not understand, but I can tell you, God, he can do it right now. And it's the same peace, the peace Jesus had, is what we're going to need in the very near future to get through the coming trials and all the adversities. I hear people saying all the time, Brother Matt, I need a miracle. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with these type of requests. Brother Matt, help me pray for a better job. Nothing wrong with that. I hear them make requests like this. My kids need help, or my dad needs a miracle of healing. Help me pray for a miracle in my marriage. All these things are wonderful requests, but I rarely hear people say, Pastor Matt, can you help me pray for God's supernatural peace? Listen to me today. God's not always going to change your circumstance. God's not always going to move you out of that situation. You may be in a marriage that's very, very difficult. And you say, well, it wasn't the will of God for me to get married to that person. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The moment you said those vows, it became the will of God. That's the covenant of marriage, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very powerful thing. You say, well, maybe I can get out of this thing. You better think again. You better go back and read all the book, ladies and gentlemen. I can tell you, you may not can get out of that thing, but God can give you a peace inside of it. You start praying for your spouse and there'll be a peace that is greater than you've ever experienced in your life. Your boss may be the meanest man in East Texas or wherever you're watching. You may not have an out right now, but I'm going to tell you, God can give you peace. He can speak peace to the troubled seas of your life. And listen, whenever Jesus was on the boat, you remember what happened? The winds and the waves were boisterous, but Jesus said, peace, be still. He still does that today, if we can believe. He'll speak it to your life today. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The trouble is someone else is constantly working 24/7 to cheat us out of that supernatural peace, and that somebody is the devil. He purposes his evil goals in four ways, and I'm going to preach to you about these four ways that he tries to rob us of peace. And maybe we've been ignorant to some of these ways. Maybe we have been, into the trap of the adversary. These four ways, he makes accusations, number one, stirs up animosity, floods us with anxiety. And number four, he pollutes our minds with garbage. I'm going to preach on these things this morning because, listen to me, these are four major categories that I have found will rob you of peace. You say, well, Brother Matt, I'm in turmoil today. I don't have peace. Well, I can tell you if that's the case, there's a very good possibility that one of these four categories are taking place in your life. Number one, he says that we are to resist accusations. Where does it say that? We know, according to the book of Revelation, that he is, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. He loves bringing up my past. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You know, he's tried to use this tactic on me many times, and sometimes I've been down, man, I was a bad hombre, amen. But I'm going to tell you, I don't fall trap to that because I know what the Bible says. The Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Some of you today, the devil keeps on bringing up your past. All the things that you did, the mistakes, maybe it was sexual sins, adultery, maybe you stole, maybe you killed somebody. I'm going to tell you, Saul killed somebody, but God still forgave him. Oh, I pray there's no murderers in this house. But he said, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you're a murderer. Amen. Amen. Bringing up your past. Listen, whenever you and I are constantly falling victim to past mistakes, it may have been a month ago, but you've gotten it under the blood. You say, Brother Matt, I have failed so miserably. Well, welcome to the club. I have too. But thank God for the precious blood of Calvary's Lamb. Oh, listen, he never said that your sin would be so great that he couldn't forgive you. No. The sin of man is no match for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What we need to do, when he starts to remind you of your past, what you need to do is remind him of his future and tell him what the Bible says. You go ahead and agree with him. Yeah, devil, that's exactly what I did. But the Bible said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm telling you today, he is a forgiving God. He's a merciful God, and he will cast your sin in the sea of forgetfulness and never to be against you again. That's one of his great tactics. He wants to accuse you. He's the accuser of the brethren. This verse goes on to say he accuses them, Satan does, before God day and night. And many people are robbed of their peace because of accusations. Listen, if you're getting into it with somebody, don't bring up their past. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought I'd have somebody shout on that one. Don't be bringing up. That's the work of the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. Well, I remember 18 years ago you said this to me. Well, get over it. God could hold the same grudge against us and say, you know what? Look at the 4,685,000 times you sinned. No, that's not the kind of God that we serve. Through true repentance, when we change our mind, change our way, and walk away from it. When we do this, we are forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have to understand this. And he wants to rob you of that peace. Listen, I've been redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Do you hear me? I said, I've been redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Yes, all to him I now resign. I have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. I don't care how far you've gone away from God. He is able to cleanse you unto the uttermost. You go ahead and tell the devil you are a liar. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know people who just can't get over their past. They just can't get over their past. Listen, that's a sin. You know that? It's a sin to worry about all your past sins. It's a sin to worry and fret about your past sins that you have repented over. Get over it. Forgive yourself because God has forgiven. Listen, the price was paid at Calvary. Romans 16 and 20, and the God of peace. Listen to this. This is one of my favorite passages. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. Let me tell you something. He did it all at Calvary. Whenever he constantly accuses you, you look to the cross. You look to the blood. It is the remedy for all of sin. Number two, listen, if you don't get this, you'll constantly be robbed of peace. The accuser of the brethren wants to remind you, forget about it and move on. Do you hear me? I said, forget about it and move on. Well, Brother Matt, the repercussions of my decisions are constantly haunting me. They're long lasting. Well, listen, God can take something bad like that and make something good out of it. Don't you worry about that. You forget about it and move on. What we need to do is we need to get us a better forgetter. If you've got a real good memory, some people do. I don't. I forget stuff quick. My hard drive's real small. Get you a better forgetter. Go trade your good memory in for a forgetter. You know what I'm saying today? Number two, if you want peace, you need to resolve animosity. What do I mean by this? In addition to making accusation, Satan robs us of peace by stirring up bad feelings towards another person. Somebody hurt us, and it happens emotionally or verbally, and we start nursing a grudge. Here's what we do. We meditate on it. We talk about it, and we open that thing up, and that wound begins to fester constantly. And the more we talk about it, the madder we get. And some folks will join in with you. They did that to you, really? Are you serious? I can't believe they did that. You are falling right into the enemy's trap. You're talking about getting robbed of some peace. You will get robbed of peace because of animosity. The kind of animosity, that kind, that you refuse to let things go will surely drain you of peace in your mind, your body, your spirit. Philippians 4 describes two women in the church who were out of sorts with each other. Two women. The Apostle Paul even put their names right out in the open for everyone to see. He said, I pled with Euodia and pled with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women. Philippians chapter 4. What's going on here? Two brand new ladies that got converted were arguing, fussing, and fighting over something. I don't know what it was. I can only imagine. I could guess about some things that it could be in the church house. Two women fighting over something. Don't happen a whole lot here, but I can tell you, I know we're human beings. Listen to me. He said, I pled with them, but a companion came, a peacemaker came. I don't know who the peacemaker was, but they came, that peacemaker, and says, come on, ladies, get it right. Make peace right now. Listen, peacemaking is a ministry. When you're a peacemaker, listen, some people love turmoil. They love to stir the pot up. Listen, God's got something for you, ladies and gentlemen. You better stop stirring pots up, and we better start becoming peacemakers. I remember when I was in school, somebody would say something to somebody else, and they go, woo, I can't believe you put up with that. Stirring the pot. These two ladies were arguing. Listen, can you imagine if your name was in the Bible? Paul put their name specifically in Philippians chapter 4. And the only time, can you imagine one time getting your name put in the Bible, and the only time that it was put in the Bible was to show that you were having problems? Think about that. What if the Apostle Paul said, I pled with Brother Matt and Pastor John Byerly to get it right. To get on the same team, and we are on the same team, amen. But what if we weren't, and he pled with us, but we both believed we were right. Listen to me today. We need to be peacemakers. It doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. Make it right with your brother. Make it right with your sister. Listen to me today. We need to be peacemakers. If you want the peace of God deep down in your soul that makes you feel good in the morning, the afternoon, and at nighttime, make make it right with your brother and your sister. Get some peace going on. Yes. These two ladies were Christians, but they had to deal with some issues. Oh, listen to me. Sometimes we say, I couldn't go to anyone and apologize. I'm just not that type. I'm not the verbal type. Well, you're the verbal type in other areas. That's no excuse. The Bible says to go to your brother and to make it right. If your brother or sister has aught against you, you go to them. The Bible says in the book of James, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Me and my wife, we do have a few disagreements every once in a while, and it's usually when we're cranky or right before lunchtime. Right before bed, she might share some things with me. I might share some things with her. And if there's any kind of dispute, I'm waiting on her to say I'm sorry. She's waiting on me to say I'm sorry. Listen, we're not going to go to bed until somebody says they're sorry. Yeah. Why are we so prideful? Why can't we just get it right from the very beginning? Come on, church. Listen to me today. We've got to get it right. God wants us to get peace back in our relationships so that we can worship openly with a sincere heart. What if you try to approach the other person and they tell you to get lost? That's okay. What if you go to them and you try to apologize and they say, get out of here. I ain't going to accept your apology. I've been there, done that. Well, listen, the moment you do that, you keep a right spirit and say, Lord, I've just given it to you. I tried. I'm going to forgive them. And it's between them and God. You've taken care of your part. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Then you can arrive at a place of peace at a different route. You can hand this situation over to God. Listen, I love it whenever I'm going through a problem or a situation, and I just give it to God. This is why the Bible said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with every man. Granted, sometimes the other person's heart is so hard that peace is not possible. But we must do everything within our power to bring about reconciliation. If the person lives in another state, pick up the phone. Call them. Love them. Listen, we avoid these situations. We can counsel other people to do this, but when it comes to us, listen, our job is to have the right spirit, to be honest, to apologize, even if we think we might be understood, and then leave the results up to God. Do you want peace? If you want peace, you have got to, if you want it, you've got to resolve animosity with your brother, your sister, your neighbor. Listen, I've oftentimes believed that the Lord, everything he does in our life is to make us like Jesus. It's all about to burn up the impurities out of our life. And the Lord has set me beside some of the meanest neighbors that I've ever seen in my life. Some of them were crazy on psychiatric medicine. We had one neighbor that they didn't give medicine that strong unless you were in the psychiatric ward. And she tormented us day and night. Well, you know what? I started to pray for the lady. The Lord's trying to get a hold of us, ladies and gentlemen. Number three, if you want peace, if you want the supernatural peace of God, you're going to have to release anxiety. Another tactic Satan uses to steal our peace is to flood our minds with anxiety. We all know the things that keep us awake at night. The future, our mounting bills, our wayward son or daughter, the health issue our doctor hasn't yet figured out, safety in our neighborhood, safety in our country, our future finances. Listen, it can be enough to drive an individual crazy, and you're anxious and you don't know if you're going to keep this or lose this. You don't know what's going to happen to health care. Listen, you need to release it and give it to God. I'm going to tell you, listen, you can't change a whole lot, anything anyways. What you ought to do is just trust the Lord. I can tell you it works. Whenever you just give it to God, that's whenever God Almighty begins to work. When you hold on to it, you try to change it yourself, manipulate it, God gets his hands off. But whenever we give it to God and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. There's no need in me worrying about it, and you too, and God, don't worry. Whenever you just give it to him, God can then begin to work. Well, how these new married couples, they're thinking, what are we going to do? You know, Brother Steve and Sister Lauren, whoo, man, that's an awesome couple right there. Sister Lauren, she wanted to know. Ain't nothing wrong with this. She wanted to know, how are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? And I just kind of laughed a little bit, and I said, that's a normal question. And I said, you're going to live by faith. Amen. And God's blessing them. Amen. But this is before they got married. That's just the way it is. God's not going to show you every detail. We want everything figured out before we take the step of faith. That's not the way God works. He says you walk by faith and not by sight. You're either going to trust God or you're not going to trust God. He's not going to show you everything. He's not going to lay it out for you to see, because that would be sight. That would not take any faith at all. But what he says is, I'm going to give you an unction in your spirit, and you're going to move outside of the boat. You're going to trust me. And listen, what's the worst thing that could happen if you just trust God? Nothing can happen. But listen, if you fail in one little area, who cares? Listen, the reward is greater than the possibilities of failure. Let's just trust God and see what will happen. Just release it, all your anxieties, and give it to God. When we're obsessed with things, we don't sleep well. We don't rest in God's love. Our text has a remedy for this. This is our text, verse number 6 of Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God, you can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense in the natural, but it's supernatural, and it comes from the heavens. Listen, we have access to this because we're children of the Most High God. We take the weight off of our shoulders and we give it to God in prayer. Listen, I love it when I get to the altar and I'm weighted down with all the stresses and anxieties and the burdens, things I cannot change, but then I just give it to Him. Oh, listen to me. Listen to the songs of this, the lyrics of this song. If the world from you withholds all of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along in meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Amen. Leave it there. Leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust Him and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Now, if your body suffers pain, and your health you can't regain, and your soul is slowly sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel, and He can save and He can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Listen, when you do that, you're going to experience the supernatural peace of God. Oh, come on. We often recite our problems to God. We tell Him all about our troubles. I'm about to close. And there's no true transfer. We tell the Lord, but we keep them. We get up from the altar, we keep them. We do not truly transfer. Why? Because our minds are still consumed with, what in the world am I going to do about this? What you ought to do is make up your mind. You're going to give it to God. You're going to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Well, that's hard to do. That's hard to do whenever we are so controlling. It's hard to do when we think that we know is good or better than God. Now, we'll never say that. But with our actions, we act like that. Because we don't trust Him. We must remember anxiety is the natural enemy of peace. And number 4, can someone come to the piano? If you want the supernatural peace of God, you're going to have to renew your mental atmosphere. The devil loves to fill our minds with garbage. Amen? Let me say it like this. Most of everything out there on the radio, the television, social media, most of it is garbage. That's what it is. I got to the point before, you know, I was working for Frito-Lay, and I was in that Frito-Lay truck Please hear me. I still got this one point. I'm in that Frito-Lay truck, and I'm listening to conservative talk radio. I'm just getting informed, right? I'm getting mad. I'm getting critical. I'm letting fear grab me. I'm letting frustration take over me. Listen, we are the people of God. We are the people of God. You cannot feast constantly on even good, what you would consider good. I'm not saying it's a sin to watch the news. I'm not saying all those things. But that's when you're constantly feeding on other things. It's going, listen, the devil loves to fill our mind with garbage. Listen, through what we see and hear on the media, through the books we read and the people we meet, through all the noise of daily life and our culture, he seeks to contaminate our thinking until we truly cannot think straight. The nonstop flood of images and ideas and sounds coming our way through everything from huge movie screens to tiny earphones can destroy the peace that we have. Our minds are consumed. Man. Someone said, Brother Matt, you're doing a lot of work in Central America. If you really believe Jesus is about to come back. I said, that's exactly right. Well, Brother Matt, you're doing a lot of work in Central America, and maybe here you're adding on to the church, and we're doing all these things. There's about to be an economic collapse. I know. What about all these things that are coming? We're going to act like Jesus is coming back tomorrow. That's how we're going to live. But we're going to act like Jesus is not coming back for 20 more years. That's how we're going to work. Amen? Don't let your mind be filled with garbage and anxieties and all these things. Listen, sometimes we just need to turn off the news, get away from that individual, and let the peace of God fill your heart and your mind. Philippians 4 and chapter 4 and verse 8, it's one of my favorite. Everything's my favorite when I'm reading it, if you'll notice that. He says, think on these things. And he names whatever things are pure, lovely, good report. And he names all of those wonderful things. You know something? I found in serving God these years, these 26, 27 years, it works. Cast the imagination down. Fearful thoughts. A thought comes in your mind. It doesn't matter if it's a lustful thought, fearful thought, anxious thought. Here's what you do. This is simple spiritual warfare. You arrest that thought. You put handcuffs on it. You cast down every imagination. And at the same time, look, you just cast it down. And then he says, think on these things. You're looking at this and you turn this direction and say, I'm going to think on the things that are pure, lovely, and a good report. God taught me this as a young convert. I would struggle with when I first got saved. First 3 days, I'm thinking, I can't control this mind. And then he taught me in Philippians what to do, to think on these things. And I remember the simple procedure of casting down this imagination and forcing my mind to think on this. And all of a sudden, I noticed something begin to take place. The peace of God began to fill my heart, my mind. It works. I said it works. Are you anxious today? Can we stand? Are you troubled in your spirit today? It works. The devil will torment your mind if you let him. That's his job. He wants to torment you. He will steal your peace. He'll say, your kids are going to go to hell. Well, listen, here's what I would suggest to you whenever he says, yeah, your kids and your grandkids, your spouse, your parents are going to burn in hell forever. Here's what I would suggest to you. Take care of your business. Get sanctified. Start living right in every area and begin to take hold of the horns of the altar and pray like you've never prayed before. When you get up from that altar, you say, it's yours, Lord. Every day. You pray, you live that life before them, you do what you can do, what God has commissioned us to do, then you get up and you leave it to God. You give it to Him. You're trusting God to do the work. That's what we've got to do. We've got to learn to trust the Lord. We've got to give it to God. The devil wants you to fret over it. He wants you to try to worry about it. Someone said in jest, they said, "Don't you tell me worry and don't work." In jest, they said, "Don't you tell me one minute worry and don't work, because I worried and worried and worried and it never happened." Worrying don't work. It ends up causing physical, mental problems. They say that whenever you allow your body to get really straight, your mind to get really stressed, your body releases natural clotting agents in the blood that help clot your arteries. It ain't no good. There's a reason why He tells us not to stress and worry. Listen, don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let him steal your peace. He pursues his evil goals in these four ways. He makes accusations. He tells you about your past, your mistakes. He stirs up animosity between you and your spouse, you and your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, your son-in-law, your daughter-in-law, your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your boss, your co-workers, your neighbors. Did I cover everything? Your enemies, your friends. He just wants to stir that up. They said one thing, and they were wrong. Yeah, they were wrong. It was a dumb thing to say. By the way, men do dumb things. Women do too. We get mad and we saw over it. Really? Really? Move past that junk. Listen to me. He wants to steal your peace. I close with this thought. John Bunyan, these men of God, these old reformers, and hey, there's people today, and I believe they're in this church, that you're in the midst of great turmoil, but yet you still have peace because you know everything's going to be all right. You know that even if it doesn't turn out the way you want it to turn out, you know God still got it in His hands. And that's the main thing. John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, was put in a dungeon cell that was like a 2.5 by 2.5 cell, 3 by 3. It was really small, and he could only, his back up against the wall. And he stood in his own waste. The demon-possessed priest said, "John Bunyan, if you will renounce your Christ, you can get out of that prison." He said, "Oh no. Anywhere Christ is a kingdom now for me." Hallelujah. That's peace. That's peace, ladies and gentlemen. Anywhere Christ is, you can be in a dungeon cell. You can be in a bad marriage. You can be in a bad job. You can be in a situation that's so terrible. But if you are one with Him and you're walking in Him and His word is abiding in you, anywhere Christ is a kingdom now for me. I'll tell you something else John Bunyan said. He said to that demon-possessed priest, he said, "I'll stay in prison until moss grows on my eyelids before I disobey my God." Come on, church. That's a man who knows his God. He knows where he is going. And he has a peace like a river. Well, here's what we're going to do this morning. I know that many of you in this house, you're struggling. I didn't say you're backslid. Didn't say you're on your way to hell. You're serving God. But you're weighted down. You're weighted down with circumstances that are so difficult. There are things that are coming before you that you're trying to give to God, but the enemy keeps bringing them back to your mind. Maybe even your own carnal mind keeps conjuring them up. You're going to have to give it to God. These four categories I preached, I believe that there's many here that really and truly you need help today. You're a child of God. You love God. You're on your way to heaven, but you're struggling with that peace in your heart. I want you to come down here. There's going to be several that should line up across this front. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. Several should make their way down. Go ahead and make your way down. God's going to help you today. God's going to help you. He's going to give you a peace and an inner tranquility. I'm not saying that you can be in a place where you shouldn't be and have an inner peace and an inner tranquility. That's not the way it works. But maybe you serve God. You love God. But you're weighted down. What's going to happen? So many things the enemy loves to just work on us. He likes to try to torment and beat us up. And he wants to make us fret and worry about the future. We're going to get help today. I know there's more here. As they begin to sing, we're going to give you a few minutes. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you today. God's going to help you. You need God just to wrap His arms around you and pull you close to Him. You need to feel the love of God. There's several more here. There's several more here. Please come. I didn't say you weren't right with God. You are right with God. Some of you are right. You may not be. It depends on, but I can tell you this, you need help today. You need help. He's going to help you today. Hallelujah. As they begin to sing, we're going to wait just a few minutes.
Peace of God.
Oh, yes.
Cover me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Cover
oh, God, give me your peace.
Cover me.
I struggle in my mind. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, this preacher right here has to go pray through and say, Lord, forgive me, help me, I need your help. I go through this myself sometimes. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. To imagine something in the Ukraine, they're underground. Many of them are underground. They got ladies with their children underground. A war is going on. They can hear the rockets, they can hear the bombs, they can hear the machine guns. Can you imagine the turmoil that they're in constantly? But I want you to try to imagine that turmoil just for a moment in a warfare. Then one day, somebody comes to that underground shelter and they say, it's over. It's over with. Russia just now left. It's a peace treaty that just got signed. It's over with. And they knew it was accurate. They knew it was real. And they come out. And can you imagine the peace? You've experienced that before, going through trials and then something happened. Some of you don't know how bad you need peace. You've been trying to fight this thing by yourself. God's going to help you. Keep singing. One more minute, we're going to just spend before we pray.
Cover me.
I'm going to ask everyone who is up here, if you'll just take about two or three steps up. We're going to have some folks come in behind you, our brothers and sisters.
Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes on.
I believe this morning when you come and you lay hands on a brother or sister, God's going to meet with us in this house. He's going to answer the cry of our hearts. I want you to come and stand behind a man praying with a man, or multiple, two or three men. You find somebody to pray with, as many as we can get up here. Ladies, find a lady to pray with. We need everyone with somebody we can lay hands on and believe God. Your brothers and sisters in this sanctuary need you to pray the prayer of faith. Hallelujah.